Hi, I'm Claire. I'm married to Daniel, and we have three boys, Jacob, Ollie, and Theo. I just want to tell you a little bit about my story and why I'm getting baptized today. I feel like I've been on a very long journey to where I am today. I've been to church since I was a baby, and I was blessed that my dad and nan are Christians, and they took me to Sunday school and taught me about God. When I turned 13, I moved to Glasgow away from my Christian family and friends, and although I still believed in him, I just lived my life for me. A few years of hard, challenging times followed. When I was almost 16, a situation arose that was really painful and difficult, and yet God showed me his miracles and healing. It brought me closer to him, and I wanted to change my selfish, ungodly ways to give my life to him. I've seen the overwhelming work that God has done in my life. He's brought me to safety, made me a wife and a mother. He's given me a new direction in my life and filled me with patience, understanding, and strength. He has taught me forgiveness, and he's led me and my family to this church where my faith has grown and grown. I want to get baptized today because this is what Jesus has asked us to do, to be saved and to be baptized. I want to make this step as an act of my faith and trust in Jesus. To finish, I want to share my two favourite verses with you, which have helped me throughout my life. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come.
Hi, my name's Tracy, and I'd like to share my story of why I'm getting baptized today. My journey to becoming a Christian really began about 21 years ago. Seemingly, I had everything going for me, mother to a beautiful daughter, a home, a promising career in London, and plenty of travel. As a single parent, I had amazing support from my family and friends, but I felt very lost and very lonely. It was around this time I had a chance encounter with the rector from my local Anglican church, who encouraged me to attend a service. This changed everything. Finding Jesus really started a positive change in my life as I became part of something. I met my husband Julian and we married in 2009. Julian's not a Christian, but he's so supportive in encouraging my faith, even taking me on a trip to Jerusalem and not rolling his eyes too much when I got a little cross tattoo to celebrate our pilgrimage. Apart from being an all-round lovely husband, he's been an amazing stepfather to my daughter Amelia. Fast forward to 2018 and we moved to Herne Bay. I visited a few churches in the area before I found Whitstable Community Church. I felt from the start I'd found a good fit and everything just fell into place. I enjoy the style of worship here and the freedom we have to sing and throw our hands in the air in praise. I feel content. I have a much deeper understanding now about the story of the Bible from Jeff's preaching and through my discipleship group with Jeanette and our Bible guru, Mike. My parents really started my journey by having me christened as a baby. Later I chose to be confirmed, but as a teenager with other priorities, I drifted away from the church. Finding my way back as an adult to knowing Jesus has enriched my life and enabled me to reach a stage where I'm comfortable in my own skin. I accept my limitations and I know I'm a work in progress. Previously, I would have been looking for approval from others, but now I don't need that as I realise I just need to be true to Christ. I feel now the time is right to publicly proclaim my faith in Christ. My choice to be baptised now symbolises my commitment to a new way of life. I read a quote recently by Dr. Roger Barrier, a pastor in America, who said, "Baptism is like a wedding ring. We put on a wedding ring as a symbol of our commitment and devotion. In the same way, baptism is a picture of devotion and commitment to Christ. A wedding ring reminds us and tells others that we belong to someone special. In the same way, baptism reminds us and others that we are devoted to Christ and belong to him."
So good. Tracy and Claire, thank you so much for doing that. I know it's not easy to tell your story into a camera, but we really appreciate you doing that. And it's just so wonderful to hear the difference that Jesus has made in your life. And we're going to hear another couple of stories now. So can we welcome Malachi?
I grew up in a Christian home, and at the age of 5, while in church, I asked my dad if I could take communion, and he told me that I needed to be a Christian to take communion. So I said, well, how do I become a Christian? And he told me, he shared the gospel, and then he left me to think about it. A few weeks later in church, I turned and said to my mum, I want to become a Christian. Then she prayed with me about it, and I became a Christian. And she said, okay, now you need to tell someone. So my dad was in the worship band, and when he came and sat back down, I told him, I'm a Christian now. He got emotional. And from then, my relationship with Jesus has only gone stronger. One time in secondary school, I was challenged about my faith, asked if I believed everything in the Bible. And I said, yes, the Bible is God's word, and God doesn't lie. Jesus has shown me that I'm part of something bigger and that I'm important to him. He's helped me not to worry and to rely on him always. I've been thinking about baptism for quite some time. And then after Jeff preached on baptism a few weeks ago, it made me feel certain. I want to get baptized today because Jesus tells us to, and I want to be obedient.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Malachi. That's wonderful to hear. And now, last but not least, let's welcome Megan.
Morning. before I became a Christian, I was struggling doing my A-levels, holding down a full-time job as a model and having some sort of a social life. I was moving through life from one thing to another just to get through. I was happy, but I felt like I was going through life with no real direction and purpose. I had a lot of support and friendship, but I felt like something was always missing. When I was 14, I started suffering with an eating disorder and was later diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, which meant my view on life was altered massively and I lost faith in the future. While working away in Paris, I had begun to wonder what it would be like to have a relationship with God. I wanted to learn more and a seed had been planted. Back home, some of you will know her, but a lady called Claire Pierce had invited my mum to church. And she expressed how welcomed she was and how much she enjoyed it. When I was home, I decided I would come along too, and I felt at home immediately. It felt like the part of my life that had been missing had now been found. A few months later, I was sat near the back at church, and Jeff encouraged anyone who wasn't a Christian to pray the prayer he would say to ask Jesus into their life. I felt instantly that this was the right thing to do, and it was the first time that I experienced the sense of peace that faith can bring. I didn't tell anyone apart from my mum for a while, as I wanted it to be a private and intimate between me and God. I don't really know where to start when discussing what a difference Jesus has made in my life. A few words to begin with are strength, hope, motivation, courage, safety, and the beginnings of peace. Don't get me wrong, there have been times when my faith has been tested, but I know that each time Jesus guides me back and I am welcomed with open arms. Sometimes Jesus is the only thing we can hold on to. After suffering for 8 years, I am now in full recovery from my eating disorder and I'm finally in a position to start processing trauma. I was asked in a recent therapy session how I would like to think of myself after therapy, and I got upset because I couldn't think of anything other than what trauma has made me think of myself. However, after speaking about this, I was reminded of my faith, and I felt an overwhelming sense of peace that regardless of anything that happens, I can look at myself as someone who loves Jesus and is loved by him no matter what. I want to be baptized now because I have a journey ahead through therapy and whatever comes after that, so I want to make a commitment to stand strong. Also, I am grateful for everything that God has done for me, so I would like to express that. My first commitment to God was a private one, so I want this to be more of a celebration with people I love and to publicly express my relationship and gratefulness of faith.
Well done. It was hard looking at your mum and Joe during that. Guys, well done. Thank you so much for sharing. It's so amazing. I hope you found those stories encouraging. I just want to just take a couple of minutes just to share what's going to happen kind of next. In a moment, we're going to finish our kind of meeting in a few minutes and head down to the beach. It's looking okay at the moment. No thunder, no lightning, so we're hoping it's going to stay that way. So when we finish the meeting, I encourage everybody to head down to Tankerton Sailing Club. Go down the slope. We're going to be just on the beach to the left of that. Hopefully, you'll be able to see our kind of banner flag to show you where to go. And then I'm going to invite Claire and then Tracy and then Malachi and then Megan to come into the water. They've asked somebody to baptize them with me. And when they get into the water, you'll all be standing on the shore kind of watching. And I'll ask them two very simple questions along the lines of, have you repented of your sin? To repent means to turn away from your old way of life and to turn towards Jesus. And have you trusted in Jesus for your salvation? I'm pretty sure the answer is going to be yes. So I feel pretty confident about that. And then I'm going to ask them, and do you commit to following Jesus for the rest of your life? And again, I'm hoping the answer is going to be yes. And then I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you. And we're going to dunk them under the water and bring them back up. And when they come up, I'd encourage you to celebrate and clap and cheer. And then they're going to come back on, and they've asked a few people to kind of pray for them after that. So rather than kind of overwhelming them when they come out, because it's an exciting thing, but it's a big kind of step of faith, and they'll be feeling a bit vulnerable. So we'll encourage you all to go back up to the top of the slope. Obviously, if the weather's good enough, we'd love to hang around for a picnic, but we'll just kind of play it by ear afterwards. Does that all make sense to everyone? Everyone knows what's happening. Great. And I'm so excited about this. Like, Baptism Sunday is like one of the best, if not the best kind of Sunday of the year. I'm particularly excited about this baptism, though, because it's the first time that I'm going to get to wear my new beach shoes. So in the past, I've always had to like wear my trainers or kind of, you know, awkwardly tiptoe over the stones as you're trying to do it. And everyone's watching, so you don't want to look like it hurts, you know, but it does. And so I'm feeling pretty relaxed today because I've got my beach shoes. Because to be honest, I don't have the best relationship with the sea. I wouldn't say I'm a kind of sea lover or a sea expert. I remember when Miriam and I went on our honeymoon to Turkey, and the first morning, beautiful beach, we went down to the sea, and Miriam had bought a beach ball. You know, we know how to have fun on our honeymoon. So Miriam had bought a beach ball for us to play with in the sea, and I can't remember whether it was you or whether it was me. One of us hit it. Was it you who hit it? It was me who hit it, okay. So I hit the beach ball while we were just paddling in the sea, and the wind kind of caught it immediately, and it went out to sea. And we try as we might, the current just took it, and the wind took it. And so that was the end. That was the end of beach fun, which was sad in itself. But the worst thing about it was that there was this German woman who was swimming near us, who, when she saw what had happened, just looked at us and went, ha, 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 you play no more. I don't know what accent was, sorry, any German people. So that was a shame. And then there was another time on honeymoon where we were relaxing, sunbathing on the beach. And the sea had one of those kind of like cordons in it, you know, the safe place that you could swim. And I was looking out to sea and I was thinking, I wonder how far like that is out there. And I said to Miriam, do you think I can swim out to there? And she was kind of humoring me. And so she was like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. So I kind of ran down to the water, Baywatch style, you know, paddled my way in. Got about halfway and realized it was much further than it looked from the beach. So I kind of had a decision either to kind of push on, potentially drown, or kind of, you know, look unimpressive to my new wife and come back. And I chose the latter option. I kind of headed back to the safety of the beach. But my worst sea experience was about 17 years ago, just after I'd graduated. I was working for a school for expelled children. And the last week of the term, we did an activities week. So we did lots of different stuff. And one of the things that we did was we went down to Dover to go dinghy sailing. So I'd never done dinghy sailing. So I was, you know, excited about it, but a bit nervous as well. And as we got down there, we got all the kind of kit on. And there's a staff team where we were trying to decide, right, who's going to go with kind of which child. Now, there was a child who was at the school who, we'll call him Chris, because that was his name. And Chris was a lovely lad, really nice guy, like, nice kid, but very excitable, you know, lots and lots of energy. And so as a staff team, as we're thinking, right, who's going to go with who? I'm standing there going, not Chris, not Chris, not Chris. And then they said, oh, Jeff, can you go with Chris? And I'm like, Sure, yeah, no problem. And the signs were ominous when they were doing the safety briefing and Chris was paying no attention whatsoever. Like, he was looking at the seagulls, throwing stones, and so I'm thinking this isn't going to go very well. And they were stood in a line waiting to go in. It was quite an overcast day, lots of kind of wind, the waves were pretty high, and everyone's bringing their boat down and everyone's really struggling. Like, they're getting to the sea, they're trying to clamber in the boat, they're really struggling. And I'm sitting there thinking, it can't be as hard as this. You know, I'm quite outdoorsy, I'm feeling pretty confident. So we get down to the, why are you laughing at that? So we get down to the seafront and we kind of push the boat in and I, like, you know, leap in athletically and Chris kind of scrambles in and I grab the sail rope and I'm too exuberant. So I just pull the sail rope really, really tight. It kind of billows like tor, the wind catches and the boat just goes over like straight away. And so we're capsized, plunged into the freezing water. And so I come back up out of the water and I'm kind of, you know, a bit all over the place trying to work out what to do. And Chris is just clinging on to the side of the boat going, I'm going to drown. And so I swim over to him and I'm trying to be calm because I'm the staff member. So I'm saying as calmly as I can through chattering teeth, Chris, it's okay. It's okay. You're not going to drown. And I'm thinking, Chris, you might drown. You might drown here. And so I know they've told us that what we've got to do if we do capsize is to kind of push down on the rudder underneath to flip it up. But I can't do that because Chris is clinging on. He won't let go. I said, Chris, you've just got to let go. You've got a buoyancy aid on. You'll be absolutely fine. Just let go. He's like, no, I'm going to drown. Chris, trust me. Look in my eyes. Trust me. You're going to be okay. And so he goes, okay. So he lets go of the rope and his buoyancy aid goes whoop over his head and he disappears under the water because he hasn't put his buoyancy aid on properly. And so then he pops up again and he's clinging on. He's like, you're trying to kill me. And so then I got to admit, in the kind of ensuing chaos of the moment, I couldn't quite work out, I'll be honest, I can't remember whether Chris, I managed to convince him to kind of willingly let go or whether I actually just kicked him off of the boat. But somehow he managed to let go. And I pushed on to the bottom of the rudder, managed to kind of get the boat upright, climbed back on. Chris had kind of bobbed back to shore. He was on the beach by this point. And I'm back on. I'm like, oh, phew, I'm in the boat. And I try to kind of control. I get the sail kind of to a reasonable place. And I reach back to, I don't know if it's called the rudder, but the thing that steers the rudder. And it's broken. It snapped off where it was. So I've got no control over the boat whatsoever. So I just drift. I just drift out to sea. And they had to send a lifeboat to come... to come and get me. And as he pulls up alongside me, and I'm quite a way out by this point, he just pulls up alongside me, looks at me and goes, having a bit of trouble. Yeah, you could say that. So anyway, I managed to finally kind of get back on and it all got sorted the rest of the day. But I'm confident that nothing untoward is going to happen today because I've got my beach shoes now. So it's going to be fine. Why am I telling you that random story? Well, I think there's a metaphor for life in this story, okay? You may disagree with me, but that's the way I'm going to go. There's a metaphor for life in the story I've just told you. And I wonder if I was to ask you today to put yourself somewhere in that story in terms of where your life is right now, like where would you be? Yeah, where would you be? Would you be standing on the shore, kind of awaiting the adventure, looking out, life full of opportunities, expectant of what is to come? Or maybe you'd kind of be in the water, that life has thrown you a curveball, that life feels like it's capsized you, that you're clinging on, afraid to let go. I think as we come into this new season, kind of, well, not really coming out of the pandemic, but this new stage of the pandemic where we've been locked down for so long, some people seeing it as opportunity, other people feel like the whole pandemic has been like their life has been capsized and they're bobbing up and down in the water, clinging on, not quite sure whether they're going to survive. Or maybe you're like I was at the end, just kind of drifting, out to shore, kind of lost that sense of control, lost that sense of direction in your life. Where are you at today? I mean, maybe you're at none of those places. Maybe you're at all of those places in different areas of your life. But the chances are that at some point in our lives, we all feel in one of those places. Either life's full of opportunity and optimism, or we're clinging on for dear life, or we're just kind of drifting. And we've just lost a sense of direction and purpose. But wherever you are, there's one place that everybody wants to be. And that's the place that I actually ended up for the rest of the day, is on that boat. The sun came out, the rudder was fixed, the sail was up, and I was carried along, free, exhilarated, carried along by a higher power. That wasn't Chris's experience. He refused to get back in the boat. He stayed on the beach, but I enjoyed that free and exhilarating experience of being carried along by the wind, by a higher power. And in different ways, the stories that we just heard today, spiritually speaking, all describe a bit about what it's like to be in those different experiences in life and then to be carried along suddenly by a higher power. You know, think of Tracy. You know, she life was full of optimism. You know, she had all of this kind of successful stuff, and yet there was something missing in her life. You know, for Claire, had this moment in her life of feeling just kind of overwhelmed, like life had kind of dunked her under and capsized, and yet she felt God's hand lifting her up and pulling her out and giving her a new future and a hope. You know, they've had their experiences turned around. They've had their lives given purpose and meaning. There's been healing and restoration. They've all been carried along by a higher power. And as Christians, we believe that that higher power is Jesus. We believe that higher power is Jesus, the creator of the whole world. Jesus in whose image we have been made into. Jesus for whom we've been made for a relationship with. You see, the Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts. In other words, he's put a desire, a longing for something more, for something eternal, for something of the divine in each and every one of us. And a 4th century Christian, Augustine of Hippo, famously said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And I know personally, that's my testimony. And my heart is restless until it finds its rest in Jesus. I don't know if you've seen that Google advert that's been on TV quite a lot at the moment that starts off by saying there are 68 million people in the UK and everyone's searching for something. And then it flashes up all these different things that people might type into Google, particularly post-pandemic. Am I now allowed to hug people? Am I allowed to kiss people? How to be happy? How do I learn fishing? How do I be a good dad? All of these great questions. And then the final question is, what are you searching for this summer? What are you searching for? And I think that's actually quite a profound question, because I would contend that every single one of us is searching for something. In fact, I would go further and contend that every single one of us is searching for the same thing. We're all searching for purpose. We're all searching for love. We're all searching for acceptance. We're all searching for meaning. We're all searching for fulfillment, for value, for happiness. But I don't believe that you'll find the answer to that question on Google. As Christians, we believe that the answer to that question is Jesus. That Jesus is the one that we're all ultimately searching for. That Jesus is the one who gives us purpose. Jesus is the one who gives us value. Jesus is the one who gives us fulfillment. Jesus is the one who brings us love and joy and peace. But the truth is, like I did in that boat, all of us need rescuing. All of us, whether we realize it or not, ultimately, without Jesus, are drifting on a course. No control over our lives, no real meaning, no real purpose. All of us need Jesus to come along and rescue us from ourselves, rescue us from our sin, from the wrong things that we've done in our lives that cause us to be broken inside, rescue us from our past mistakes, rescue us from our present pains, rescue us from our future fears. And Jesus is the one who offers us that rescue. Jesus, who, as we've heard expressed through prayers this morning, came into the world, walked in our footsteps, entered into our mess, bore all of our junk and wrongdoing and the things that mess us up inside and the things that mess up our relationships with each other, bore it all, took it all upon himself on the cross as our sacrifice so that we could be forgiven. So that we could be accepted, so that we could be made whole and put right again, so that we could enjoy the relationship with God that we were made to do. Jesus, who doesn't just die, but rises from the dead to prove that he's God, to prove that everything he said about himself was true, and to offer us a new life, a new start, an eternal life, both now and forever with him, because he lives forever. And that's really what it means to be a Christian, to be rescued by Jesus, and to have your life turned around from heading in one way with no direction or control to being on that boat in the sunshine, carried along by a higher power, exhilarated and free. This is what it is to be a Christian, and this is what it is that these baptisms are a story of today. So I'm just going to pray and give thanks to God for his good news, and then Joe and Chantelle are going to lead us in one final song, and then we're going to draw our time to a close, and we're going to go down to the beach. So let's close our eyes as we pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that your desire is for each and every one of us to know you, and that you extend an invitation for us to find our rest in you, to come and experience what we've been made for, relationship, intimacy, knowing and being known by the God of the universe, in whose image we are made. Jesus, we just thank you that you came and you rescued us. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the story of Claire and of Tracy and of Malachi and of Megan, all of them trophies of your grace, testimonies that what we're saying today is true, that the effect is there to see, that the change and transformation is there to behold, not just subjectively, but objectively. Jesus, I just want to pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, and that they would explore the claims that I'm making this morning. They're big claims, but they would explore those claims, and they would seek you, Jesus, and that you would be found by them, that you would reveal yourself to them, and that you would bring that same transformation, joy and peace that can only come from you. And we thank you for your good news. In Jesus' name, amen.